What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Hey, I want to thank you guys for listening to Jody, Andrew, and I on part one of the Paul Stanley Happy Birthday, Paul Stanley show. Part two is coming up right now. Now, we're not necessarily talking about Paul Stanley. We're actually finishing up the news of the week. So, we don't normally have two-part shows, and I know you guys know that because you listen every week. Thank you for that, by the way. Don't forget, leave us a review on iTunes if you can. And we're also on Podomatic and Twitter and Facebook. You can come and friend us and follow along with everything that we're doing. And we're also revamping PodcastRockCity.com. If any of you guys out there know how to do a website really well and you feel like you would love to help us and be part of our team, message us at podcastrockcity1, that's the number one, at gmail.com. And here's part two of our Paul Stanley Happy Birthday show.
I know you guys feel the same way. Paul Stanley is the man.
He really is.
He really is.
We should make shirts for that.
Well, there's a shirt out there that says, "Who died and made you Paul Stanley?"
It's great.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, I've been seeing that for a long time because here in Atlanta there was a Kiss Expo where they were selling them in the mid 90s, and then out of nowhere now I see them everywhere online, and I'm always like, God, I made my own too.
You should make Jody a shirt that says "Eat it like a piece of cake," and on the back of it just have Paul.
Yeah, with his finger in his mouth.
It's like, it's awesome.
That has always disturbed me, man. I just don't understand that move.
Now, you
what
know,
is that supposed to mean, you know?
Yeah, you know that they had the top 10 frontmen of all time recently online. And I don't remember what magazine put it out. I'm just throwing this out there. But Paul was not on the list.
Really?
That's a crime. Yes.
And they had, like, Trent Reznor on there.
Are you fucking serious?
Yep.
Jesus.
And not to take anything away from Trent Reznor, because I believe he's a genius. But my point is he's not really a front man like a Paul Stanley or...
No. Who was number one? Like Robert Plant or something?
I think it was Plant, yeah.
I could see that. He was kind of the archetype for... But see, Paul's different because he played guitar while he did all this shit, you know?
Yeah. I always said...
Well, it's the same thing as the guitar world... Oh, sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, it's like, I'm not surprised at that because, like, it's the same sort of general list for a lot of websites. Like, you know, the top three guitar solos in, like, Guitar World or Guitar Legends is going to be, like, Comfortably Numb, then Eruption, and then, like, Stairway to Heaven. Like, on every list, it's going to be, like, Zeppelin, Van Halen, Pink Floyd. So it's just, there's no surprises there. Yeah.
That surprises me just hearing it now. Yeah.
Well, it's like the same thing as top metal bands. It's gonna be, Iron Maiden, Metallica, and then Black Sabbath for every fucking countdown. And I'm not saying that I don't agree with that, but like, you know what I mean? Like,
right. That's like any sort of, 90s Nirvana is always number one.
Yeah, it's the same suspects like in every list.
You know what? Just really quick, for 90s, like 90s bands, who would you put as number one if it wasn't Nirvana?
My favorite 90s band was probably Screeching Weasel, maybe the Queers.
What about you, Andrew?
Well, I know a lot of 90s bands I like are still going on now, so I guess probably just stereotypical metal ones, since they're not going around anymore, is probably Pantera.
Yeah. For me, it was Alice in Chains.
Oh, but if there's... Yeah, I don't know.
I really loved that band. Man.
They were really good.
They were really good.
Did you ever see them live, though, Joe?
No.
Terrible. Absolutely brutal.
I would say my second favorite, like... And I know it's like a grunge thing, but or Seattle thing, but Soundgarden was really great.
Yeah, I liked a few songs by them.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm going to switch mine to Death, because they had their well, not their heyday, because like Sound of Perseverance is a perfect album that came out in the early 2000s, but the bulk of their career was in the 90s, so I'm going with Death.
Right on.
That's awesome. Yeah. All right, so let's talk about the Sean Delaney video. So basically what I got from the video was, without me, there was no Kiss. I gave Paul all his rants. I taught him how to hold his guitar like it was a big dick. It's like,
Stroke it like it's the biggest cock
ever. And Sean is gone. He has passed away. Yeah. And I just don't, the thing that bothered me about the video was how godlike he came off. I could have ruined Kiss. I could have, Bill Lacoyne told me, the fans will, flip out and lose their shit if they ever knew, blah, blah, blah. And it turns out not true. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that Sean Delaney was the fifth member of Kiss, right? I mean, is that a secret?
Well, they always gave him credit. Like, they didn't dismiss him.
Right. I do know that, I do believe that if people would have found out that Sean was involved with how well the band and the things that he was involved with, I don't think they would have been upset. I think that the stuff that they hid from us, which was the fighting and the arguing and all that stuff, they needed to keep from their fans. Is that, you guys agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, though. I mean, maybe it was a different time, but it seems like today, like, if bands don't get along, they get even more publicity,
Sure.
Like the Oasis or whoever. So I don't know.
But it was almost like they wanted to portray the band as being this family. Four guys, they love each other no matter what. I always felt like that was more of the that would have been more of a big deal. People would have freaked out. Oh my God, Ace is unhappy. I can tell you that from if I go back and look at like my 16 magazines, where they're interviewing Peter and they're talking about, the headline is, talking about that horrible rumor, and it was the rumor that Peter wanted to leave. And of course he denies it, but of course it was true.
Right.
And when that happened, Kiss immediately went on the, we have to repair the band. But getting back to Sean Delaney, he, in the video, he basically said, I could have destroyed Kiss as fast as I helped make them. At least this is my, what I got out of it. And at the end of the video, of course, he says, the reason I didn't do that was because I really had hoped that it would all come back together,
Right.
Which, by the way, it didn't. I mean, do you guys think that without Sean Delaney, they would have been able to pull off what they pulled off, or?
No.
I think they would have been able to, because, he came up with a lot of great ideas, but I mean, they were pretty great before they even hooked up with Aucoin, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think that final push made them from, like, great musicians to, I don't want to say the word godlike, but you get what I mean. Like, just the next level.
Right. Game,
the next level of showmanship. They had that, like, that Vegas flavor that turned them into the band that can get away with selling Kiss Monopoly and can have a movie. It was that final push to make them infamous. And I think without that, they could have been a big band, but I doubt there would be Kiss podcasts.
Right.
Just those touches that he put to the band, turned him into superheroes versus musicians. And I could be overselling it too, because we wouldn't know. Like, just it happened,
Right.
It happened, but I honestly think that they wouldn't be as big without him. And he's got the sort of bitter attitude that, like a former frontman, would have had, like, if someone replaces him and then they get better or something like that, then they go, oh, well, they wouldn't have been anywhere without me, and you know what I mean?
Right. I really felt like, you know, when they talk about the Sean Delaney influence on the show, you really could see, if what he's saying is true, you really see why Paul pranced around the way he did, you know, because Sean would have added that, wouldn't you agree, that kind of a feminine side to him, or?
Mm-hmm.
Right, I could.
Then again, didn't he say that the Star Child was a little too feminine? Like the character, I think someone said that.
Well, a lot of people have said that, actually.
No, I know, but I mean, like, to Paul's face. Oh. Like, that's why he became the bandit. Pretty sure it was Sean who said that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I think it would be really awesome to find out who, because I've asked questions now online, and I'm not getting any answers back about who has made this documentary, and I think it would be great if they would come on with the three of us, and we could interview them and talk about Sean. Mm-hmm. You know, I have heard other shows do interviews about Sean Delaney, and you know, I think that the people that listen to our show would love that kind of a thing. Just putting that out there in case anybody that's listening knows somebody. I know his niece is involved and his nephew's involved, and you know, and things, and you know, so if you guys, you know any of these people, hook them up with us, because we would love it. All right, so let's move on subjects. Tommy Thayer was interviewed in I found it online. And the interview, it was pretty interesting in that the it was from Ultimate Classic Rock, and the headline was basically Tommy Thayer on the Kiss makeup controversy. And it talked about how Eric Singer has no patience for the belly aching carrying on of fans who get, you know the story. You know, mm-hmm. The people who are pissed off about the fact that Peter's makeup is on Eric and Ace's makeup is on Tommy's. But I thought it was very interesting in that Tommy basically understood. He said, I get it. You know, you were a fan in the 70s, you're a diehard fan, and somebody else is wearing your hero's makeup. You know, he it was like he understood. I mean, what do you guys think about that?
Dude, first off, I have to say, in Ace's makeup or not, who can hate like the sweetest man in general? Like, I could not visualize him getting mad ever.
Right.
And I just want to, that was really cool that he was, like, he's understanding, but, like, in reality, like, Jody, I know you said this, and any guitarist, if you had the opportunity to take that gig versus them hiring someone else just as a, not a session player, just as a someone to play live, wouldn't you take the gig? Like, you'd be lying to everyone else and lying to yourself. I would do that in a heartbeat.
Hell yeah.
Like, I don't understand how you can hate Tommy or Eric. Well, I can see how they're hating, like, just they should go without the makeup, but I really agree with Tommy that adding a new character 30 years later is ludicrous.
Right, it is.
It makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
Whatsoever.
You know, and I also agree with him with what he said was, Peter and Ace basically said that I was the road manager, blah, 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 and he goes, and that's true from a point of view, but I've been a professional musician for 30 years. I have as many records out as they do.
Yeah. Right. And he's paid his dues. Like, like everyone keeps saying that he hasn't. He has. It doesn't matter if you're in Kiss or not.
Right.
He's been working hard all of his professional life.
Yeah, absolutely.
He had a band that just had a bit of a pop, but then just sort of disappeared. That's no jab at him. I'm just saying. You know what I mean?
And not only that. Look, to me, at the least that people could say, and I could say a lot more, but at the least they could go, at least a real member of the Kiss Army
is there.
Got the gig. I mean, look, the truth about Eric Carr, where he had told the band that when he originally tried out, that he listened to him all the time and he loved him, and apparently that wasn't true.
Yeah, if you look at like all of his old bands, nothing like Kiss.
Nothing like Kiss.
Like, you know, Bob Ross.
And yeah.
Bob Ross.
And then it's so funny. And then so you got a guy who was in a Kiss tribute band. I mean, it's just like that movie Rockstar, you know, and the guy gets the gig, and he was a real member of the Kiss Army. He was a real Kiss fan. He had posters of these guys on his walls. He was in wasn't it the first Kiss tribute band?
I don't know. The first one I ever
heard of. Registered one.
Say that again.
Sorry.
Oh, I was just saying the first one I ever knew about was Strutter, long before I knew about any of the other ones. But maybe that's just they came around here, you know?
Right. But I know Jamie St. James, right, from Black and Blue, started the band, I believe, and then he was in it.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that.
I think he was Peter Criss, as a matter of fact.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like Tommy in the band because he actually plays the ace licks. He plays them like verbatim, and I dig that. I didn't like when like Vinny would just go all ape shit. It's like you want to hear the ace solo. I do, you know.
Tommy
delivers that, and I love it.
Yeah, and when you hear a Vinny song, you want to hear Vinny's solo.
Right, and Tommy does all anyone's solo. Like when they do Tears Are Falling or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He can do the Bruce shit, like, nope for no.
He emulates everyone very well, and still has a tad bit of his own flavor, too, there, which sort of sounds like Ace anyway.
Yeah.
Because he's an influence. You know, I'm going to say something, like, I don't give a fuck if it pisses off a lot of people, because I know it will, but it's something that Matt and Ken said. Hi, guys, if you're listening, by the way. But, you know what I mean? Like, if this is all you're complaining about all the time, then you got it pretty good.
Yeah, you know absolutely. What I mean? Like absolutely.
I'll get off my fucking high horse in a minute here, but let it the fuck go. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just yeah. Who cares? It's the same thing as like people getting mad about George Lucas with the. They're still bitching about the
prequel. Yes, that is a great comparison. I will tell you that I have a couple of friends that when they start talking about fake Kiss. Kiss 2.0, Kiss impersonators, they will blow a blood vessel if I don't calm them down or leave the room myself. Because
like I can understand getting mad at it, but like keep it to yourself. Like if you're on message boards all the time, just saying about how we're all Kool-Aid drinkers and whatnot, and I'll take the rap for this. This has nothing to do with these two guys, but get a fucking life.
Hey, I'm on that same boat.
So yeah, I'm there like, too. It's been, you know, how many years has he been in the band now? It's like time to let it go.
Like, this is childish.
Right.
It's like if that's your hobby, then just that's your hobby. I guess there's nothing I can
knitting,
do about
dude.
It. But just build a model car or something.
Right.
Drink.
Yeah, a couple of the other things that I thought were interesting were that Ace says that Kiss is tricking the crowd by making them think that Ace is on the stage, and Tommy disagrees with that. He says 99.99% of the people out there know that it's me and not Ace. And to be fair, they say Tommy Thayer 10 times in the show. That's okay. They never say Ace Frehley.
Or Spaceman.
I was going to say a lot of the casual guys, people going there, only know Gene and Paul. Like that might not be true, but I think a bunch of them just know that as the spaceman.
Right.
They don't know either name. At least I don't. Like, I could be completely wrong, and like, just you know what? Send all the hate mail from my dumbass comments to my inbox on Facebook, Andrew Kiss, because that's Joe's thing. Doesn't because it's gonna get clogged with it, and I don't really give a fuck, but. Maybe I should cut that caffeine before I do this because I'm all fired up.
Okay, now listen. I don't think you should ever cut the caffeine before you come on the show. You're great. Let me tell you, at the bottom of the article, okay, there was a little tab. I don't know if you guys saw this, but basically it was a tab. It was Ace Frehley solo against Tommy Thayer solo, and the songs were Give Me a Feeling solo or the Hell or Hallelujah solo, right? And then people got to vote. 75.6% of the people voting went to Ace Frehley, and 24.4% went to Tommy Thayer. Now, here's my thing. both the solos, I think, are really good, you know, but I was just like, really? Those are the two that they pick? I know that with Tommy, it's you have to pick, you know?
Right.
Slim pickings as far as Kiss goes. But, like, with Ace, Give Me a Feeling is the solo in that is not a good representation of Ace for
That's what I was going to say. Like, I can't think of how either one of those two solos go off the top of my head. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just
drawing a blank.
There's a lot of delay in Ace's. and Tommy's just, you know, that Frehley Page sounding, you know,
yeah.
Which is what he does. And anyway,
that's what I do too.
Yeah, that's what I do too. I thought it was really interesting that they put those two up there, you know. It was really funny because at the bottom of it, I didn't click any further, and I probably will when I get done. Is the next one was like top 10, you know, fails of Tommy Thayer on stage, and apparently he falls a lot, apparently.
Really?
Yeah. You're saying they were talking about, you know, he had a hard time apparently learning how to walk in the boots.
Dude, I trip over my own feet in sneakers. So I can't say anything bad about that.
Maybe he was just trying to cop the whole Ace vibe of falling around on the stage.
I always loved the video of Paul laughing at Ace when Ace would be on the ground.
That's hilarious.
Okay, so we all agree, though. We like Tommy Thayer. We don't have a problem with it. And if you've got a problem with Tommy Thayer, you're probably not listening to this show anyway.
Right.
Unless you're that one guy that writes me crappy, you suck emails.
Or soon-to-be write me emails.
Yes. Yeah, send
Look forward to hearing from you.
And you can send them, care of Andrew Kiss, Podcast Rock City 1, that's the number 1, @gmail.com. I don't want it. I'm going to forward it right to him, especially when they tell me, you suck, Joe. You sound like a guy who got on the elevator halfway up, and you haven't been a fan as long as I was a fan. I was a fan when I was 3 years old at a Dynasty concert. I was like, I was 10 when you were 3. And yes, I was there at Love Gun.
Right.
Anyway.
You know what? I wasn't fucking there.
You're new.
I wasn't even born.
Speaking right of now. Not even being born, it is time for Ask Andrew. For those of you that don't know, Andrew is 21 years old now, right?
Yep.
Okay, 21. So he's a new Kiss fan, even though he prefers. What do you prefer? Old or new? Old Kiss or 80s Kiss? 70s? I mean, you know.
I go in phases, honestly.
Really?
Oh, like right now, I'm in the sort of. Pretty much I'm in my elder phase. It's been 3 weeks.
Wow. That's pretty awesome. All right, so we got a couple of questions. And if you want to send a question, just send it to podcastrockcity1@gmail.com. This is our way of getting to know the brain of a Kiss fan that's, you know, new. That's, you know, he's 21 years old.
There's not much in there.
Yeah. He's getting a lot of it, though. I like I said before, I have a Kiss fan and a friend named Jacob, and he is learning. He sends me texts at 3 o'clock in the morning going, man, I really love this album. I can't believe it's so good. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so that's the, you know, new Kiss fans. It's like discovering the whole world. It's pretty cool. Okay, so the first question comes from, I don't think the last name is real, but we're going to say it anyway, Paul Smith from Ontario.
I have a friend named Steve Smith.
Do you really?
Yep.
The Smith is always the thing that throws me off. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's like having your password on your computer as password.
Yes, that's a good... Hey, I like that. Okay, so here's the question. If you were in a band and you had to pick a drummer, would you pick 1984 Eric Carr or 1975 Peter Criss?
Well, who?
Carr.
You'd take Carr? Wow.
I need a double bass.
Yeah, that's true. That's your style of music. For me, it would be Peter Criss all the time. I would want Peter.
Oh, he's a he's a monster drummer, but I'm just being biased for the music I like.
Yeah.
If I'm playing in a like a just like a straight ahead rock band, definitely Peter. But Carr's a lot more technical.
Right. Peter Criss in 75 is a beast though, man.
He was, man. He hit those drums so hard, didn't he?
Yeah, plus he's just
he'd be in a good sludge metal band.
Yeah.
To be honest. Well, or just doom metal, I still say Carr though.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. You're a really heavy metal guy. That's funny. All right, question number two. Are we ready?
Well, I hope that answers your first question. Well, or I don't know, cut that out because that was dumb.
What are you talking about?
I have no idea. I'm zoning in and out. All right,
okay,
question.
No, you did fine. Don't worry. Okay. Andrew makes me edit more than anybody makes me edit.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Okay, next question for Ask Andrew. I love the music, by the way. Next question. Okay, now, best contributor to the band. Bruce Kulick, Vinnie Vincent.
Kulick.
Wow.
You gotta go with Kulick because he has more contributions.
Yeah, but you know, for me, Vinny, you know, Creatures.
Oh, but Vinny did a lot of co-writes too.
Yeah, man. You know, Unholy Creatures.
Fuck, that's tough.
Yeah,
that's a really tough question. Still gonna have to go with Bruce.
Just go with Bruce.
But that's like by a hair, though.
Well, like, that's awesome. And that look, if you want to learn more from a 21-year-old Kiss fan, you just ask any question you want, and Andrew will answer it. And all you do is you write it, send it to Podcast Rock City #1. That's just the one, you know, at gmail.com, and we'll get your letter on, and we really appreciate it. You can also, you know, and I know this show has run long, and we're going to release it in two episodes because it has, you know, we've had so much to talk about this week. We'll release two episodes during the week, but you can always go to iTunes and leave us a great review. We would appreciate that. No bad ones. And then only about Andrew. It's like yeah. And you can talk bad about Jody, but me lay off of me for a while. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, and then podcastrockcity.com, you can check that website out. I usually put videos up there. I try to daily, but it's very hard because life is just intrusive. If I wish life was just like hanging out and talking about Kiss all the time. Anyway, do you guys have a new show coming up anytime soon?
Yeah, we always got something coming your way, but we were supposed to do one this week, but Andrew and I, schedule-wise, we couldn't get it together, but we got something pretty cool coming. We're not going to tell you what, but stay tuned.
Ooh,
stay tuned.
A mystery.
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 We got to keep a mystique, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. And and don't forget, you know, go and listen to the 8-year anniversary of the Podkist. That's a great, it's a great show.
Congratulations.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for the shout out. From Ken. That was really great. And I guess that's it for the show. You guys have anything to add?
Nope.
Andrew's gone.
My back hurts.
All right.
Nothing
well,
Kiss related.
Don't forget to listen to all of our favorite podcasts. You know who they are. We don't have to say who they are. And we will see you guys next week. Peace.
Greetings from Jan Bell, Kiss Army. Strange Ways Podcast wants to invite you to a rock and roll party. Boy and Jody have not, D-Rock, and Clinton Harris are the strangest Kiss podcast known to our scientists at this time.
Pretty mystical.
Your Kiss Army bros celebrate and discuss the gods of thunder. Kiss! You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, Facebook, iTunes, Stitcher and blah, blah, blah. Just Google it. Thank you and keep on rocking.
They are serious.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Montco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
Kiss!
It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Montco Radio, where music and minds meet.
This is a really big moment.
Hi, I'm Cassius Morris, host of Kiss Podcast Creatures of the Net. Our show content includes current events of the hottest band in the land, exclusive interviews, and the trials and tribulations of being a KISS fan. You can check out our show at www.creaturesofthenet.com and on Facebook or Twitter. And if you don't know the website name by now,
well, you better f***ing learn it!
We'll see you here.
Kistery Science Theater, the most civilized...
Yeah.
Oh, f***.
Oh,
f***. Come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed-up bass. Boom, 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 boom.
And serious.
No, wait.
Excuse me, Bob. You're gonna come over and do my album?
Kiss podcast on the web. Kistery Science Theater. We bust balls because we can.
Doctors define modern rock disorder as a sudden, intense drop in musical taste affecting all facets of the victim's lives and the lives of those around them. Over 20 million Americans suffer. Do you? Is your newfound love of Axe body spray, leather wristbands, and mountains of hair care products driving those close to you crazy? Has your overwhelming desire to crank Nickelback, drink a sixer of Natty Ice, and yell at girls from the back of a pickup truck seriously impaired your work or social life? The Decibel Geek Podcast offers new hope. The Decibel Geek Podcast, the only podcast proven effective for MRD. The Decibel Geek Podcast corrects the chemical imbalance created by listening to bands like Theory of a Dead Man and Three Doors Down, so that with time and your hosts Chris and Aaron's help, you can move toward recovery. MRD hurts. The Decibel Geek Podcast can help. Visit www.decibelgeek.com to begin the road to recovery.
It's time for some cheap talk. You're listening to Trick Chat.
Their mommy's all right, their daddies are all right, they just seem a little weird. They even got their KISS records out. This is Ken from the PodKISS. Join me, Matt, Andrew, and BJ as we talk about four great guys and three great chords. Cheap Trick. If you're a KISS fan, chances are you checked them out. So please check out our show, Cheap Talk with Trick Chat, available for now in the PodKISS feed.
Keep cheap tricking.
Someone, somewhere is needing to hear from you. Someone needing to know that you care. Care enough to give the gift of PodKissed. Tell a friend about PodKissed today. Download us on iTunes, friend us on Facebook, and rock your ass out. PodKissed.
That's a picture of Joseph KISS Sr., who came up with the vision of KISS in 1753.
Right, Joseph KISS.
That's, of course, a picture of him without makeup.
That's right, Mr. Joseph KISS Sr.
All right.
Hi, KISS fans. This is J.R. Smalling, and I'm pleased to announce the release of our new book, Out on the Streets, written by me and the other members of the original KISS crew. This book chronicles the glory days of the hottest band in the land, from 1974 to 1976. You'll hear the real tales of what it was like to be on the road with KISS during those early years. For more information or to purchase, visit our website, www.theoriginalkisscrew.com. That's crew with a K. You wanted the book and you got it. And we hope that you enjoy it.